We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody! Hey, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winterscott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, hey, listen, we're right in front of March right now, and it is so lit up in terms of the games that are being played, the games are being won, and how the games are being won. We're talking about overtime games with Ole Miss and South Carolina, Maryland, and Iowa. I mean, so many other, Stanford, UCLA. There's so many games that we're going to be talking about. And on the horizon, I'm seeing glimpses of the Phoenix Mercury and Ooh. Brittany Griner and her photo shoot. So a lot of WNBA news as well. But how are you doing right before this madness of March gets into the thick of things here?
Oh, I'm all right. You know, we're it's all basketball at this point. Like I've been watching just an incredible amount of basketball. My high school season ended, unfortunately, in the regional quarterfinals. Shouts to my guys. Just tough shooting night. Your high school season, or at least Jordan's high school season, is still going on. So he plays tonight. That's awesome. We got the Wizards also going on, but it's just like all college basketball for me, though. It has been, I've been watching anything I can get my hands on. D3, D2. I've been dipping into a little bit of everything. I watched, what was the game? There was a game in triple overtime. Who was it? Oh my God. It was Alabama State and someone else. No, it was like, I don't even know when it happened, Christy. It was great, though. I had a great time watching. Virginia Tech UNC last night. It's all been crazy, and you're right. We're right there in March. We're both leaving next week to cover the conference tournaments. You're going to the very cold Minneapolis.
I heard it was
Target
12.
Center.
Yeah,
Target to cover the Big Ten.
Yeah, I heard it's 12 degrees in Minneapolis, so I will be bundled.
And I'll be in Greensboro for the ACC tournament. So it's just like at this point in the year. Ooh, Christy, what happened?
Oh, what happened?
Your screen went blank.
Oh, here
it's
I go.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I pushed something. Oh my gosh. Sorry. There I am.
There it is.
Sorry.
She's
it was
back.
A kiss and ride situation for Jordan. Anyway, but we're good.
It just feels like, right, like every game now is taking on so much significance that, you know, it feels like the teams are in March. It feels like we're deep into March. So, I mean, I think the place to start, at least for us, is the crib. We got to talk about Maryland, I think.
Yeah. We got to talk about the crib. Okay. College Park. That game the other night, Iowa-Maryland on Tuesday, my phone was, like, completely blowing up with text messages, like, are you watching the game? Or, oh my gosh, did you see what Maryland's doing? And I'm like, invested in my son's game, like my phone is like going off. But I did get to watch it after the fact. And it was pretty amazing that they held Iowa to 8 points in the second quarter alone. They were face guarding Caitlin Clark. Lisa Bluter, the head coach at Iowa, said that that was the best individual defensive effort on Caitlin Clark since she's been in an Iowa uniform. So that's high praise for the defensive scheme, but not just the scheme, but the execution by Brenda Freeze and then execution by the team. Brenda Freeze and her staff, and obviously the team with the execution of it, because I mean, I'm sure Caitlin Clark has seen a bevy of defensive coverages on her and on the team, and she's been able to calculate and figure it out. But that night, it was just, I mean, they couldn't find a rhythm. And the fact that, you know, she's averaging just under 28 points a game, just under 9 assists a game, and 8 boards. I mean, she is a huge part of the production for Iowa. So a lot of people are like, let Caitlin get hers and try to shut everybody else down. Okay. But this time, Maryland was like, let's see what we can do to try to really disrupt Caitlin Clark. And they did that night.
Yeah, and I think the problem with, you know, when you try so hard to stop Clark, the problem usually becomes Sinano, because she's an excellent player in her own right. And, you know, in the last game against Maryland, she got everything she wanted. And this game, I thought, you know, I wrote about this in my newsletter, ballinorder.substack.com, about how Maryland, they play the box in one. You know, not like that complicated of a defense.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark sees it all the time. But I called it like a box 1.5 because they just had the face guard on Clark.
Yeah.
And they also always had a body on Sinano. And they were denying her and fronting her. And and you know, it sounds cliche, but it was really about effort, energy, and speed. I mean, this team, we've talked about Maryland all year long about their length and their size. And hey, they're not the biggest team down low, but they're really fast and they're really long. And they play a little mean. You know, this team is a little mean. They have that dog in them. I think the way Brenda just put them into a position where they were hitting, you know, it was a commitment to hitting Clark every time, you know, kind of like what you see in the playoffs against Steph Curry, you know, get a body on her, hit her. If Makisano is moving, hit her. And then you let the other players do what they can. And then sometimes it's going to kill you, right? Because the other players on Iowa, they're good players. Gabby Marshall and McKenna Warnock, those players can hit shots. In this game, Maryland did get a little lucky that they didn't hit shots. But also, Maryland did a great job of recovering to those players and making the space seem small. So I just thought their aggressiveness was just fantastic, and it was a great strategy to unleash their speed and length.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, and all coaches know this, and now that you've finished your first year of coaching, you get it, okay? You can draw up anything you want on the whiteboard. You can draw up anything you want on the board before the game. Man, I used to have so much stuff written on that board. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, the bottom line would be like the last three things on the list of things we need to do. Okay. We need to do these things. Okay. But sometimes it's not about the list of things. Sometimes it's how hard you're playing. And that starts right here. And so I think, you know, execution is at the top of the list. And you can say execute, and to everybody, it's all relative to what it means to them, right? So I think for Maryland, for Brenda Freeze to say, hey, this is what we need you to do. And we need you to go hard at that, right? We need you to go full throttle. We need you to be tough-minded. We need you to be next play mentality. We know you can do it. Right? That goes a long way when coaches pour into you the positive encouragement, you know, and not in a threatening manner, right? Because who wants that? Yeah. But like, listen, all the coaches here, we're all on your side. Like, we're pulling the rope together. Like, we're in this tug of war with this tough team. It was number 6 against number 7, Iowa 6, Maryland 7. We're in a tug of war in the mud. Dig your freaking heels in, right? And let's see what we can do together, right? So I think when you, as a coach, can get your players to see that you're on their side, right? And that we're all pulling at the same time. So mentally as a coach, like, I want to be locked in. I want to be focused and ready to go too, and ready to adjust. Like, this is the game plan. But listen, if the game presents something else, I got to make changes. I got to make moves, whether it's personnel, whether it's schematic, whether it's anything. I've got to be on my best too. So I'm holding myself accountable. Made sure to tell the kids, hey, listen, I'm right with you. Like, I have to be mentally focused and tight, right? I have to be physically loose, mentally tight. It's an Arthur Ashe quote that I lived by. And it makes sense, right? Because you don't want to go out there like tight-minded, like just, you know, like afraid to make a mistake. Or not playing to your true potential because, you know, you don't know what the coach may say. Listen, and don't use that as an excuse either for coaches who are intense and asking you to be your best. Don't use it as an excuse like, oh, they're mad at me. Nobody's mad at you. Listen, we want to win, okay? The coaches want to win, okay? And coaches know they need your best in your role to win. So how do you get the best out of them? You tell them what you need from them. We need your best. We need you to fight in your role, okay? And we need to make sure that we're working together, right? And it's all about team. I mean, I don't care, however you cut it. You can split hairs all you want to. But it's all about the collective mentality, letting the players know that you trust them, hoping the players feel it and trust you back. But that's just the key. And I think that's what we saw with Maryland. We saw it written up on the chalkboard, the whiteboard, whatever, in the locker room.
Yep.
Then throughout the game, you saw, you know, the execution from the players. So, I mean, kudos to the players for that, because sometimes you write up what you want and you go out there and it's not happening, man. It's so frustrating. So I get it. But, you know, it went from the whiteboard to the court for the Terps.
Well, and the defense led into their offense. I mean, 26 fast break points. Brian Alexander, Lavender Briggs, Abby Myers killing it on the offensive boards. Like, we were talking about the defense. Maryland couldn't miss a shot either. If they did miss a shot, they got the offensive rebound. It was just like, hey, it's a beautiful night in College Park. They've had a few of those this year on the men's and women's side. Great crowd, like great energy happening with the Terps. So it should be, marquee win for them. And I think they're making the case for a one seed. I mean, we just got the second top six, 16 reveal. We'll talk about that a little bit. They're still a two seed.
Yeah.
But, you know, the wonderful thing about college basketball, unlike college football, is that you get a chance to make your case in the postseason. You get a conference tournament. They have this game against Ohio State. You know, they beat Ohio State on the road. They win a couple tournament games, maybe win the whole Big Ten tournament, then I think they're kind of a lock for a one seed. And maybe if they even make it to the championship and lose to a really good Indiana team, they may have a case there too. So I found this to be the win that you could have pictured with this Maryland team when they got together this offseason, you know, in terms of seeing how that team came together. And now it's finally all gelling for them. But, you know, I think also, you know, we should take this time, you know, everything that you just said about this team and how they were coached and how they were put into the right positions to execute. I think it all makes the case for Brenda Freeze being a coach of the year candidate. I mean, she loses two great players in Ashley Owusu and Andrew Reese, and is still coming back and making a case for a one seed. I mean, I think she's just done a phenomenal job with this team and against really great competition, because Iowa is a really good team. Don't let that score fool you. Ohio State's a really good team. Indiana's a great team as well. Like, she has a case for coach of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, how not, I guess, is the question. I mean, they had that statement win earlier in the year over UConn in December. Had never done that before. And I think, you know, just looking back over Brenda Freeze's career, and I know it's about this year being coach of the year, but put a pin in that thought for 2 seconds, because, or maybe 20 seconds. Anyway, but just flash back to when Alyssa Thomas was coming through and went to two Final Fours. And on one of those teams that Alyssa Thomas was on, when they went to the Final Four, I believe they had six healthy bodies. What happened? So they had four players who had knee injuries, ACLs, like, or meniscus situations, right? I think it was two ACLs, two MCLs or maybe three ACLs. But anybody, they were all out. Anyway, all four players were out with knee injuries, like not coming back. And then they had one who had mono. So she couldn't play. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how do you practice? I remember I had one of the games like around this time of year, you know, like, what do your practices look like? Because you have six guys out there. Like, you have to get super creative. I mean, you can't do 3-on-3 the whole time. Like, how do you emulate and get your scout done? You know, and they had the scout players, but at the same time, you know, they weren't going full throttle with what they could do on the court in practice. So in the games, they could have legs. And sometimes during the games, Brenda Free said the timeouts were to get some rest. Like, the, it wasn't a momentum feel, you know, like you feel a timeout. Like, you just feel a timeout. Like, I still do. I didn't coach this year, but I'm watching games and I'm like, timeout. And then sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you feel it. Like, it's a feel. It's a rhythm. The beautiful part about basketball is that it's so rhythmic, right? You have to love that about the game. So it's a feel. So anyway, she would call timeouts to give the players a break, you know, but they made it to the Final Four. So she's been here, done that. This is not her first rodeo with, in terms of getting the right pieces together and pushing them to the standards of Maryland basketball. And when you see what they've done this year in particular with nine new players, nine of them, okay, and one returning starter, one returning starter in Diamond Miller. It's pretty incredible to think about. And I'm not just saying this as an alum, because other people have said this too. So don't play with me. Don't at me, even though, should I say about my Twitter or no? Don't at me, because someone's being foolish and just hacked my Twitter. So I haven't been.
We're going to find you.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. And I need that. But anyway, that's why I have my IG name there. But still don't hit me on IG with any negativity about what I'm saying, because it's true, and find some lack of truth in what I'm saying. So stop playing with me. Don't make it about anything other than what it is. And that's what's right in front of us. And what Maryland has been able to do is present their best selves, and they've been able to play well in big games. So it's just going to be very interesting how they close out on the road at Ohio State. Like you said, it's Ohio State senior night. So, you know, that's always full of emotion, but it's going to be very interesting to see how things shake out before everyone heads to Minneapolis next week for the tournament.
Yeah, no, that's a huge game tonight, the Ohio State game. And then, you know, this, and we'll talk about this one a little bit more in depth, Indiana at Iowa Sunday. On Sunday is going to be another massive game, even though Indiana's already wrapped up the conference regular season title. And that's so awesome for Indiana. Their first one since 1983, Christy.
Wow. Great.
And you know that state. I mean, you were basically the Indiana beat reporter for a few weeks during this season. You had like four of their games in a row. How crazed that state is about basketball. To see them win the conference is fantastic. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the tournament about who gets the automatic bid. But, you know, the Big Ten just looking really, really, really strong as we head into March. And I think they're making the case for the best conference. And I think the teams that are playing the best in that conference should be among your favorites.
I think so too.
Yeah. And then we get to go to some NCAA tournament games like we did last year. So,
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, this is the best time of year. I don't care. I mean, the holidays are great and I love the holidays. Yeah. And I love, you know, the kumbaya and the hot cocoa. I do. You know I do. However, this is right up there. If there's a 1A and a 1B, you choose which one you want, A and B, because listen, this is the best time of year for me because, you know, the stories are still untold. Legacies are still unwritten. And it's all a clean slate. And I think that's the beauty of it as well. Like, the unexpected is so thrilling. And the challenge of that is in front of everyone. And so, for me, it just gets my adrenaline like popping, because I just know that, you know, the kids have worked so hard, the coaches have just poured into them and it's worked so hard to get them to this moment, you know, and they want to win each moment ahead of them. And it's not easy, man. You get into that tournament, you have to win six games to win it all. And, you know, it sounds easy, Man, it sounds easy. And if you've ever been on that road, you understand what it means. And, you know, the closest I ever got personally was the semis of the Final Four. And, man, that was
pretty far.
But still, it was, I mean, that, we were 29-3, Gabe, and it hurt so bad to lose. Because you don't, like we were talking about it, you don't set your mind up for it to be over, right? Because you're, I mean, for me anyway, maybe it's just me. I think all of us felt that way. But no. I was demolished after that game because I just did not think we would lose that game. Yeah. You know, we played Pat Summitt's Tennessee team, Rocky Top song still. Yeah. To this day. but it's a long road, right? And it's a battle. And, you know, mentally
it's an investment.
You have to give yourself up. It's the best. It's the best. What'd you say? It's what?
It's an investment. You know, you put in so much of yourself into the season.
Yep.
Coaches, players, managers, AD, like everyone. If you're around the program, you're putting everything in. And then it comes down to a couple bounces of the ball. Couple calls here and there, you know, couple things going your way, rebounds, right? And even in the when you get blown out, right? Like Maryland, Iowa, I'm sure Iowa's sitting there saying, "Well, if we had this offensive rebound, if we had this turnover, if we got this stop in the second quarter, made this shot, what we would have won." Because that's how the thinking is. You just think like, "Hey, if we got this one thing happen, we're gonna win," and that crushes you. And I don't know. I felt that this week, so I have a lot of sympathy for everyone who's going through that. But I think it's also like it's a privilege, right, to feel this bad at the end of the season. There's not every team feels that way. Some teams want the season to end, right? Teams want to go home.
I'll never understand that. But yeah, I mean, pressure is a privilege. I'm like full of quotes today. Sorry, not sorry. but pressure is a privilege. I mean, it's right in front of you. The opportunity is there for you to seize it and. You know, how bad do you want it? I think it comes down to that. And it goes back to what we were talking about with execution. It's like you understand what you need to do, but you need to focus in on how to do it in the best way you know how, right? And that's to give everything you have at this point. And you owe it to your team. Like if it's not for you, like take it off of you then and say, hey, I need to do this for the team. The team needs me. I mean, if that doesn't get you going, the team needs me to be at my best. I don't know any competitor. If you say that to them, I don't know any competitor that wouldn't fire up.
Oh, yeah.
We need you. Okay. We need you to go. Like, we got to have you at your best. Like, shoot that shot. Like, I'm going to take you out if you don't shoot. Like, that's the freedom of mentality you need to pour into your team. Like, how do you not give your players that level of confidence, right?
Oh yeah,
you have to.
No, they're
not gonna. Yeah. It's hard enough as a player. Like, I don't know how you were as a player, but I know I was harder on myself than anybody could have ever been. Like,
I was a bad player, so it didn't really matter how I felt. I didn't have much of an effect either way.
I never saw you. So I can't say. So I never saw you play. So I can't. You know, say, but I know.
Neither did anybody else. Let's talk about UConn. UConn loses to St. John's. First time they have lost multiple conference games since 2013-14. Mm. Wild. And you know, you look at UConn and you just want to give them a hug, even though they're UConn. And like, I know a lot of people are going to be like, they're UConn. They don't need your sympathy. I want to give them a hug. I just want to see them hold. I want to see AZ Fudd on the floor. And obviously, we're not going to see Paige Beckers, but I want to see her on the floor. But, you know, shouts to St. John's for taking that game and winning it. Because, hey, it's I don't care when you're playing UConn. I don't really care where you're playing UConn. And this was on the road. This is on the road, mind you.
Yeah.
It's a tough team to beat because they're well coached and they never give up. And I think St. John's winning is a great testament to them. I think St. John's moved up into the safe part of the tournament bracket. Oh no, they're in the last four in now. So that win puts them in.
That I think so. And you know, and it's the way they played that game, right? It was about their defense and rebounds in that game. I mean, they dominated glass, second chance opportunities. They were able to get those. And they close out the regular season at home against Georgetown tonight.
And unfortunately, our favorite Georgetown Hoya is not available tonight.
I know, poor Wheezy, but she'll be okay. She's almost through the protocols, the concussion protocols. Not, I know when I say that now, it's like COVID.
There's other protocols.
I know there's so many protocols, yeah. But yeah, she bumped heads with a teammate in the Butler game and has missed the last two and most likely will miss tonight too, which is a bummer. But hopefully she'll be all set and ready when they go to the Big East tournament next week.
We're believing in it.
So send prayers up for Wheezy. Yeah. Braids by Bree, Weaves by Wheezy. Bree. Oh.
Well, yeah, and hopefully they can make a little run tournament. I mean, Georgetown definitely has a lot of talent, and that game against St. John's is going to be hopefully a good one. I'm happy for St. John's. It's good for them to be in the tournament field. I mean, they may need, you know, another win here or there, maybe a tournament win to just solidify their case, not get upset. But this is just an awesome win to come out. You know, you give up a big run in the second half against UConn, and a lot of teams at that point, you cave, right? You say,
you see it coming.
In your mind, you've already thought somewhere in the back of your mind, like, hey, we can't beat this team. You know,
like,
there's a little piece in the back of your mind, even before the game saying, you know, we can't beat this team, and you overcome it throughout the week. And then they go on that run and you're like panicking. And that team didn't panic. They just kept going and they attacked UConn. And, you know, on the flip side for UConn, I mean, I think last year we said we were worried about them and then they made it to the Final Four like they always do. This year, I'm worried about them. And I'm not sure they're going to be able to get right before the tournament. And they're a really good team. They just don't think they have enough players that are ready to compete and in the biggest moments in March right now, just because of where they're at. You know, maybe next year those freshmen grow a little bit and they'll be better. But if they don't get AZ Fudd back, it's hard to see how they can score enough with the best teams in the country.
Yeah, and I remember Gino Auriemma saying that. I forgot what game it was. Was it the South Carolina game? I can't remember, but AZ was playing. But it was right before halftime of that game. And I believe Holly Rowe interviewed him. And he had just said in a timeout where the mic picked him up. I don't know if he was mic'd up, but the mic picked him up. And he said, he was talking to AZ. He said, if you're not going to score, how are we going to win? And I remember him saying that. But I also remember you saying almost the same sentence about UConn last year.
Oh, yeah.
Around this time. About them being, you know, not healthy, number one, which is always, I mean, something you cannot plan for. And it makes it so much more difficult, clearly, for any team, any level, any gender, whatever. But I know that you said that about them last year. And they still made it, right? Even with injuries and even with them not having a ton of depth. But I think it's different this year because, I mean, I think so many players have been in and out of the lineup also. So it's not necessarily about offensive production, but it's also about the best ability being availability, right? And the continuity and chemistry that you develop from that availability. I think that's going to be a bigger key for Connecticut is, okay, you're back, but now you haven't been playing with the team. So how is that going to be? And sometimes it's seamless, you know, sometimes for me, I look at that factor as being a major deal. I remember coaching, there was a kid who hurt her thumb. She was out 6 weeks. She was senior, but we won like 11, 12 games in a row and we're getting ready to start postseason. And I'm like, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't want to mess it up. I love that kid. She knew it. And I told her as much. I was like, man, it's a feel. I don't want to just put you back because you're healthy. You know what I mean? Because these kids have played 6 weeks and develop this chemistry with one another. And although you deserve it, you earned it, you are a senior, you know, it's like, gosh, man, hey, coaching is not easy. So it's not for the bird. Well, listen, that's the hardest part.
And to give like a comparison that our listeners know about, like Connecticut Sun, 2 years ago, the 2021, whatever the year that, with Alyssa, when Alyssa came back from her injury, miraculously came back and was performing, and she played great. But I think there's a pretty large segment of the people watching who said, you know, their chemistry was off. They didn't really have the chemistry together to play well in the playoffs. And that can happen. But I think the way AZ plays is pretty conducive to her coming back if she's healthy and immediately contributing, just because, you know, she can just be an off-ball threat. She doesn't necessarily need to change anything. And they just, they need, I mean, they're over the last five games, a 92 offensive rating. That's in the 46th percentile of the country. That's not good, folks. That's not where you want to be. And so I just really hope AZ can come back. And if AZ comes back, hey, I'll change my tune. If I could see her in the Big East tournament, we'll talk UConn going to Final Four again, because you look at the rest of the team. I mean, this team's stacked. You know, you still have Caroline Ducharme. You still have Nika Mule. You still have Lou Lopez-Chanisal, who's playing amazing basketball. I think Aaliyah Edwards, one of the most underrated players in the country in terms of her impact on both ends.
No doubt.
But, you know, it's getting late in the day for UConn, and let's just hope they get healthy, because we all want to see AZ back. And Paige.
Yeah, that's my baby, AZ. I hope you're listening. Hey,
DMVer.
DMVer, known her since she was a little too puffball baby. Oh. But yeah, I just hope they do get healthy. And that's always tough. And again, you can't plan for stuff like that. But, you know, you can only hope to be peaking at the proper time with the proper people on the floor and the proper chemistry. I mean, there's something to that. I mean, there's something to it. Maybe not for everybody, but for me, that's how I look at it.
My dog just opened the door. He learned that he can open. He walked out now.
Oh,
okay. I guess my wife got up from the couch and he got mad, so he came in here and opened my door. He figured out that he can just headbutt my door because it doesn't really close right. So he's been taking advantage of that.
Oh, little Buddha.
This is his blanket.
I love it.
Cutie pie. So Siggy appearance, but then come on, Caramel. Let's talk about South Carolina. That's a good transition. Thank you, my pups. South Carolina.
Yeah.
Scary, scary games, but they're still undefeated.
Yeah. So it was amazing. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I mean, I think that Ole Miss game was awesome. Tennessee game was great, but yeah.
I just thought, you know, that Ole Miss game, listen, that game was insanely crazy, close all game. Like, it wasn't just, you know, one team was ahead and then another one fought back. It was like a tennis match. Boom, 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 boom. The whole entire game. And then when it went to overtime, I was like, I don't think that bodes well for Ole Miss, because South Carolina, when they get their feet to the fire, man, they're just like, we're not having it. And that's what happened in the extra session where – you know, they just showed their experience on the court together and came together at the right time. And I just thought it was a masterful effort by Ole Miss and Coach Yeo for Ole Miss at the end. Yeah. I saw part of her presser and she was saying, you know, how much she respected and revered Dawn Staley. And it goes back to what we were just talking about, how coaches have to be mentally nimble, right? To be able to make in-game decisions, to approach the game, number one, the way you want your team to approach it. Players to execute what you want them to execute, but then to carry it out and sustain it, I thought that was very impressive. But for Coach Yeo to give Dawn Staley her flowers in that moment, I thought was really cool. And we're not really even talking about the SEC and how competitive that has been. I mean, taking South Carolina to the brink. Tennessee, I know they started the season out in the top 10, the top five even to start the season, but fell out of that, but then made a strong push, got healthy, okay, made a strong push, but now dropped a couple in a row here. But the SEC is a battle-tested conference as well, and you better be ready to compete. It's not just South Carolina and everybody else. It's like, oh, you got to be ready to go and not just go, but go hard. And sustain it and push.
Well,
and be aggressive, right?
And these teams are getting right too. You know, you look at there's been some conversation as to why the SEC doesn't have as many ranked teams. And I think the answer is quite simply, they just weren't that good to begin the season.
Yeah.
Like flat out, they weren't playing that well. None of the teams. Tennessee lost a bunch of games. I think the conference as a whole outside of South Carolina has like two wins against the top 25. And that's in part because there wasn't, you know, because those teams struggled early, they didn't get ranked later. And I think right. now you see a lot of those teams coming together. You see Ole Miss coming together. You see Tennessee kind of come together. You see, you know, Arkansas has been pretty good all year. You see a lot of those teams that were pretty good all year kind of turning the corner to becoming good teams. And so, yeah, maybe some of them deserve to get ranked. I don't think they really care as long as they can get into the tournament, right? As long as they can get into the tournament, I think they're going to be happy because, you know, these are really competitive teams. And if you can stay toe-to-toe with a team like South Carolina, you're a good team. I don't care I don't care about the context or whatever. And this is a fully healthy South Carolina team. You're a good team. So I think Ole Miss sent a message. And then Tennessee, I think they played, you know, a really good first quarter against South Carolina, a bad second quarter, and then pretty even throughout the rest of that game. And that team has some of the best talent in the country. You look at, you know, Rekia Jackson, Jordan Horston, got some great players there. So these teams could turn the corner, make a lot of noise in March, but I think it's just like so impressive. And I do think we need to give South Carolina even more flowers, how they get through this schedule unbeaten. And I think it goes to Leah Boston, and I want to take a second to shout out my girl, Zaya Cook, because I've been on her since the beginning of last year. She had a nightmare shooting season last year in terms of, like, ball literally would go halfway down the rim and then pop out three times a game for her. And she stuck with it, and they won the championship. But now this year, I think it's kind of turning around for her, especially from three, where she's having a great season. Shooting from three. She still takes a lot of tough twos. And I know there's analytics people that are going to tell me, she takes really tough twos. I don't care. Yeah. She's a baller. She makes big shots when the team needs it. And I just think this South Carolina team, you know, again and again, proves their mettle. Not that they have anything to prove. They just keep doing it. So I think for them to, I think they only have one more game left. I'll double check that.
I believe it's fine. Everybody's just right there at the end of regular season.
At home against Georgia on Sunday. That's their last game of the season. And, man, I mean, can they finish a regular season undefeated after winning the title last year? And then, you know, probably go to the SEC tournament and you know, avenge their loss to Tennessee in the SEC championship?
Right. How about that?
I think so. So, I mean, I just, you know, I'm so impressed with the South Carolina team every time I watch them.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, Dawn Staley is a dream merchant, and she says it all the time about how, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out in your favor. And last year, losing to Tennessee in the tournament, in the SEC tournament, and then winning the title, I think there's some unfinished business. And we saw what happened the previous year when they had unfinished business in the NCAA tournament against Stanford. So they understand the inner workings of that philosophy is to be a dream merchant. And to be a dream merchant doesn't mean that you get your way all the time. It means that there are pitfalls along the journey, and you have to deal with those and force your way out with resilience, right? And perseverance. Yep. And the fact that they did it last year to win a title, I mean, that SEC tournament is going to be, that's going to be like that. Okay. Because now the force of that confidence or that mentality is right there for them to tap back into, like, hey,
Christy. Well, we wait. There she goes.
It's you know, it's a game day, and there's a kiss and ride situation, and they know I'm on a podcast.
It's a game day. They forgot about
anyway, it. Just circle back and just, you know, there's a pressure point here that I just tap when things like that happen, and I feel a lot better.
Hey, but your nails look great.
Oh, thank you. I'm chromed out again. I did the chrome again. I appreciate it. But back to my thought before, I was so really interrupted. but with South Carolina, I mean, I think it's already in the cards for them. Like, they understand what it takes. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they understand what it takes. They know the blueprint mentally to redo and run it back and to get what they want. So I think it's going to be exciting, to say the least, in the SEC, but also the NCAA tournament this year is going to be like so on fire. Like, I can't wait for it. So,
but no, South Carolina, and we still got
a favorite. Yeah.
No, soft. I mean, I look. Hey, I love the tournament pick'ems, and I love being different and all that. I'm gonna pick South Carolina to win the championship again. And you know what? The thing is about this team is, so they lose Destiny Henderson, huge loss. They lose a couple other players as well. But they kind of come back tougher defensively on the perimeter. Like they have that three-headed monster with Zaya Cook and Kiara Fletcher and Bree Beal, and it's like. Any of those three players are just like superstar perimeter defenders, and they're all playing on the same team. And then, oh, if you get past them, you know who's waiting in the paint is Aaliyah Boston. And if you somehow don't go to Aaliyah Boston's side, well, it's just, you know, Cardoso on the other side. She's taller than everyone. So good luck.
All of them are huge, man. Did you see that thing Holly Rowe did, that measure, and she walked down in front of the whole South Carolina team?
I didn't see it, but I imagine Holly looked very small.
It was great, but it just kind of displayed, like, on a typical day at, like, Target or something. Like, you don't see that many tall people in one spot. Like, it was pretty phenomenal. But, I mean, they're amazing with how they play, but their size separates them. I mean, they're just a mismatched nightmare across the table. Bree Beal doesn't get enough credit for her activity, the way she flies around the court. Man, we don't hear her name enough, just to be honest. I mean, in my opinion.
She's a beast. She's an absolute beast. And she loves it. You know? And the other thing about this team is they love it. They love the like, I feel like when they get in a close game, it's like, you know, they're like, yeah, let's do it. Like, this is awesome. Like, we finally get to hit big shots. We get to play in the big moments. I feel like they really enjoy that. But I think, you know, the matchup, and this is a segue into the other thing I want to talk about. The matchup I really want to see, South Carolina Stanford. We did not get to see that in the tournament last year. We did get to see an awesome game in Columbia last year. We got to see an awesome game in Stanford this year.
Yeah,
I need to see it in the tournament. And Stanford is doing their part. They stay steady against UCLA, a really, really good basketball team, and against Colorado in overtime in Boulder. You know, two really hard-fought wins against two really good basketball teams. And now they play at number 8 Utah on Saturday. And if they win that, it'd be their fourth straight top 25 win to end the season. And that would be amazing. And I don't think they can lose the conference, if I have the tiebreakers correct. Because Utah lost to Colorado and Stanford didn't. So I don't know. I don't necessarily know though. I don't know how it works. So I'm pretty sure though that Stanford's going to win the conference. That's a huge game for Utah, who's on the one line at the moment to kind of make a statement. And if anybody can tell me like how to watch that game, I'd really appreciate it because I don't get the Pac-12 network.
Same.
Yeah. Let us know. Send us any information you got. But yeah, what did you think about Stanford?
Hey, I just thought, in particular against UCLA, which is the game I saw most recently, I just thought that they were steady, right? I mean, at the beginning, they were slow out of the gates a bit, you know, in terms of their rhythm. But they, as the game went on, I just thought that they, you could just see and feel the momentum gaining for them each minute of that contest. And UCLA was right there with them. I mean, it was a good battle, obviously, with those two teams. But I just thought that, you know, sometimes experience is what carries you in those moments. And I thought that Cameron Brink, you know, she has really been a toughie this year, to, you know, and I know Steph Curry was at that game, right? Too, her godfather. So Cameron Brink's mom and Steph Curry's mom played basketball together. So that's the relationship there. So they're tied in. But I just thought collectively they look really good. But I think the momentum just continued to gain and gain as the game went along. But I think that could be also said as a microcosm as how they've played this season, right? They've just gone along and gained momentum at the right time. So that's just, that may just be how Stanford prefers it, right? We want to be playing our best at the end of games to close them out. We want to be playing our best at the end of seasons to have a good tournament push, right? So I think that's kind of the feel I get from Tar Vanderveer's group.
Well, and in that game, they took a punch, like you mentioned, like UCLA came out in that third quarter, pressed them, got them into some trouble. They attacked the Stanford's freshman point guard, and, you know, hey, they came out and said, hey, we're going to come back out in the fourth quarter and beat you. And that's what they did. Right. And I think UCLA deserves a ton of credit. I mean, UCLA is a really good basketball team. Kiki Rice is going to be a very, very good player. I wrote about her in the Ball and Order newsletter as well.
I love it.
But she, yeah, DMVer. And, you know, she's like, she's just really good at figuring out the game. I think she's a floor general. And I think, you know, I kind of believe in her shot coming around. I think she can fix that.
Yeah.
But Stanford, they just, you know, they saw great players, Chris Osborne, you know, Kiki Rice, they saw those players giving them punches. And they said, okay, we'll take it. And then they punch back. And I think Cameron Brink, as you mentioned, is just phenomenal. Haley Jones, man. Haley Jones is like just a funky basketball player, right? Like, just like she plays point guard. She plays point guard, but she's playing in the post, and you can't put a small on her, but you can't put a big on her. And then, you know, she's running the pick and roll, but she's trying to post up. And, you know, she's just, I think, a special thinker on the court. You know, she seems to understand the game. And that's part of what Tara does for you. When you go play for Stanford, you're going to understand the game and understand how the backdoor cuts work, where you're supposed to be on the chin actions, how you're supposed to set everything up. So I think Haley really embodies what Stanford's trying to do. And you see Cameron Brink also, you know, picking up every single game. She gets smarter, and she's already a great basketball player coming in. But from her freshman year to now, she's just become so much better. So I think Stanford, if I had to pick a championship right now, obviously I'm picking Stanford, South Carolina, mainly because I want to see it in Dallas.
You
want to
see it.
I want to see it. So make that happen. I want to see it. So I think Stanford just like, that was a huge statement win for them, even though it was against a lower ranked team. I think that was a huge statement win for them. And I haven't been able to watch a tape of Colorado. I also was not able to watch that game live because of the Pac-12 network, but complaining, not trying to complain,
but you kind of are.
Okay. Just show me the games, man. That's all I'm asking for. Just show me your basketball.
I just want to watch.
But yes, Stanford playing great basketball.
Yeah.
So we could talk about the top 16 reveal really quick. Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of got to most of it. You know, Utah's on the one line up from six. They take UConn's spot. UConn drops down to seven, down below Maryland, who's at six. So those are two seeds right there. We have Virginia Tech as the highest ACC team at number eight. They had a really awesome win against UNC. If you haven't seen the game winner for Elizabeth Kitley, I'd say go watch that. Yeah, great plays. And then here's a question that I have, and you know, we'll talk more about the ACC next week. But how did Ohio State move up four spots from the last time we did this? That's very surprising.
I'll tell you this as a voter. Okay, first of all, number one is not easy. Okay, let's say that first. Dewey's yelling. We have a pet day.
The animal's going crazy on the pod.
Must be a full moon today. Anyway, Tell me what I was saying. I got distracted.
We were talking about Ohio State moving up four spots. Despite, I don't even remember what they've done, but it hasn't been that great because they're kind of struggling at the moment.
Understood. Okay, so what happens in those instances when teams move up seemingly without rhyme or reason? There's always a rhyme and a reason, okay? So the teams ahead of them may have lost to unranked teams. And with the Big Ten being what the Big Ten is being this year, with four teams in the top 10, six teams ranked in the top 25 most weeks this season. I think it's harder for them to drop because whoever they're playing, even if they lose, are maybe a little ahead of them. And yeah. I'm trying to make a case, but you're looking at something that's going to blow
you're right. Okay, water. You're right. Because so the Maryland, they got hammered by Maryland, if you recall.
Yes.
Right before the top 16 reveal. So what's happened since, they did get hammered by Indiana, which is the game I remember.
Number two,
Indiana. Game was at home. Game was in Ohio State, but okay. So they get hammered, but then they also beat Minnesota. They went at Penn State, and then they beat a really good Michigan team in a rivalry game on the road. So I guess that's your argument there. And then you look at, you know, who'd they kind of leapfrog here. You know, they leap over Villanova. I guess North Carolina fell out. I don't know. Here's my problem. Okay, I'm gonna go listen to Megan Gower about the bracketology stuff. I'm not like a genius here. I don't like the net rating. I just don't like it. It's telling me stuff that I don't think is correct. And I think we're
like
taking
what?
Too much.
Like
well,
what?
Okay, here we go. Like net rating says Maryland's the 13th best team in the country, despite having the third most wins against the net top 25. You know, you have South Carolina who has 7, you have UConn who has 10, you have Stanford who has 10, you have Indiana who has 7, and then we get to Notre Dame and Maryland and Virginia Tech with 5. And then you know, it's like, well, okay, like how is the net rating telling me that Maryland is the 13th best team? And then we're translating this into, you know, the top 16 reveal, and suddenly Maryland 6. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. Maryland 6, that's cool.
Right.
But like, you know, it's just like I don't really know, you know, why some games count as a quad one win and the other ones don't. And then just tell me who they beat, man. What happened to here's your resume? Here's who they beat. Was it on the road or not? Done. I don't need a net rating. Just show me who they beat, you know. And I guess it helps some people. And you know, again, I'm not that smart about this stuff, because you know I'm big into my own world. But I just don't get really the rhyme or reason here. And again, it doesn't matter, because the great part about basketball, unlike football, you get a chance to play. So mostly all these teams are going to be in. And that's great and wonderful, and we get to see them settle on the court. But yeah, I don't know why Ohio State moving up 4 spots and then other teams moving down, and then like, where's UNC? UNC played fine. It's like, okay. Someone's going to have to explain it to me. I'll ask Megan. I've yelled at Megan
yeah,
about this before.
She has the formula. Like, you know.
She's our certified bracketologist here at
Her Hoop Stats. I love it.
Yeah, so I mean, whew. Sorry, that was a little bit of a rant that I didn't expect to go.
No, it wasn't. No, I just wanted to know your thinking. Like, that's a good thing to communicate.
Yeah. And like, I, you know, LSU, they have them as the 5th best team in the country. And it's like, oh no, LSU has beat 2 good teams this year, according to your own formula. I don't know how the formula works. I was all just mad about it. UNC has 5 wins against the net top 25.
Huh. And they didn't get in on the list.
They didn't get
they
into
didn't
the
on this latest. The
they get dropped, yeah.
Top 16 seeds.
Yeah, they got dropped, and then you know, whatever. I'm gonna drop the complaints. College basketball is great. Let's get to March, baby. Let's get
concerns.
To March.
Concerns. It's not complaints. It's concerns. Let's reevaluate the narrative on that and make it more positive for you.
But so. We've kind of covered the games to watch. Let's just be happy for a sec. Brittany Griner, back in Phoenix. Yay!
BG!
Official.
BG, baby. Oh, my God, I love it. How about the photo
shoot? Did you see the picture? Yeah, I was about to say. So the photo shoot, but did you see the picture of her and Diana and the kids?
And the babies. I love it. I mean, they're a family there, but when you... You know, just all the social media stuff that's come out. But I've only seen it on Instagram because my Twitter is messed up at the moment. But yeah. Hopefully we fix soon. So if you can help me,
any Twitter
help me out on Instagram.
Out.
Yeah, we need help. But anyway, but all the pictures and videos from the Phoenix Mercury sites have been so heartwarming in so many different ways. And the fact that they call Brittany Griner the heart and soul of the team. Oh, it just gave me chills again, because how just strenuous was that whole situation, not having Brittany, not just on the court, but in the country. But now to have her back and the smile on her face just radiates joy. And it just brings me so much joy, you know, to see how happy she is, how happy everyone else is, that her presence is valued the way we valued it. Dawn Staley posting every single day. Yeah. While she was over there in Russia, and just the care and concern and the compassion piece. Like, we miss that a lot you know, statistically speaking, and, you know, the player, yeah, is she going to be able to play? Like, okay, let's, I get it. And, you know, we love it. Okay. We love it. Her hoop stats. Like, come on. We love the stats side of it. And we love the basketball player personnel side of things. Trust and believe. But when it's all said and done, I mean, it's about the people. Like, who are these people and who loves these people? How are we connected in the same ways? Like, we're more alike than we're unlike. Maya Angelou, another quote. That's three quotes. That's three quotes. Maya record for me. But we are more alike than we're unalike. We really are. And I think when people realize that, they treat other people better. Like, let's just have more respect for each other. You know, and ultimately respect for yourself first, but then respect for one another comes easy when that happens. Right. So I don't know. Yeah. It's all about that part of team that will always, encourage me, will always, enlighten me. But it always also give me joy just seeing those pictures. Like you said, it was just the sweetest thing.
No, it was just heartwarming. And it really does, like, hey, look, you know, there's some, I guess we could give an analysis, like, some, you know, is there some ham rigging that she took less money than she could have gotten? If BG wanted, you know, the full super max or whatever, the max, whatever, yeah, whatever, she could have got it. You know, she's a great player. Another team would have offered the max, or what, if she wanted that, she could have got it. I don't think there would have been much resistance in Phoenix to doing it. They would have had to do some cap machinations, but, you know, she took less because she wanted to do it. I think, you know, it really is something to see her back and happy and just like it. You know, it feels like she never left, other than her hair.
Different. Yeah.
And I think that speaks to just like the type of person she is and the type of person, you know, we've been telling everyone who hasn't paid attention to the WNBA, as much as we have over the, like, the type of person she is the type that's going to come back and just want to be with her friends and family and, you know, is the type that's going to take less money to make her team better. And the type that's going to, you know, be just like immediately happy back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think she's gone through so much that if she just said, hey, you know, I never want to play basketball again, or I don't want to be in the public eye or whatever, that'd be acceptable. She doesn't. She went to, you know, she went to the Super Bowl to enjoy it. She's enjoying her time in Phoenix. She's enjoying, you know, the life that she gets to get back into. And you know what? I want to put this out there.
Put it.
I got a good feeling of not only Brittany Griner the person this year, Brittany Griner the basketball player. You know, I'm gonna say it. She's gonna be in the MVP conversations.
Hello.
That's all I'm gonna say. Maybe I'm wrong, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she plays well or bad or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
But like, I think she's going to play really well, and I think she's going to, you know, she's obviously one of the best players I've ever seen in this league. She's going to get back to it. So that's my hot take, is that she's going to be in the MVP conversations this year. And, you know, even if she's not, I just want to see her back on the court.
I just want to see her too. I just want to see her back out there. I mean, just to see the clips of her, you know, back on the court with the uniform on, they did the photo shoot, and she was just in her element. She's in her element, and just to know the comfort of that, right? Regardless of who's taking the pictures or who's in that room, her in that moment, man, I was embracing that with her, and just feeling or trying to feel what she could possibly be feeling while that camera was snapping. Just the journey of what she's been through, and man, she thought she was never going to get back here. When they said 9 years or 10 years, something like that, like, can you imagine how heavy that is mentally? And then to be freed from that, that's what I saw all over her. It was just oozing from her smile and it through her eyes and, you know, the way she was moving. Like, I don't know. I pay attention to the most random things about people, but it's, to me, I see the souls of people sometimes more than I see the outward shell. I don't care how tall you are, like, whatever else, the soul, if you have a beautiful soul, like, it shines through. And I think for Brittany Griner, I mean, right now, those pictures of her, I mean, it's just shining through. It's just shining through. And it just brings me a lot of peace and joy, you know, to see that she is where she is mentally and physically. But I think just where she is mentally And just how she's just so free within herself to do what she loves. Right. Yeah. And we all want that peace. We all want that peace. So it's a fine example of that for sure.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It made me really happy. And, you know, Diane Taurasi also resigned. She'll be back. So gang's back together in Phoenix. You know, we'll see what happens on the basketball side, but just really exciting. Just really, really, awesome. really happy for BG. And, you know,
terrific.
It's been emotional for obviously everyone who's been around this league. So we're going to get the payoff when she gets back on the court.
Yeah.
Christy, that's all I got. Watched basketball this weekend. I don't think I have to tell anybody listening to this podcast about that.
Watch it like this,
babe. Oh yeah. I'll be watching. I'll try to get Emily, my wife, to agree to go to the Atlantic East Championship game, Marymount school down the street playing in their conference D3 championship game. She said, we've been to enough basketball in the past week.
She's
like, we're staying home for one day. You get basketball every other day of the week. I'll be watching that though. Go Saints, go Marymount. Be watching a bunch of other games, and you know, it's a big weekend, and then you know, we're off. When do you leave for Minnesota?
On Tuesday, and you know, the tournament starts on March 1st in Minneapolis and it goes through to the end of the weekend, so it's going to be a gauntlet of games. You know, I'm already
so wait, upset. how many games do you have?
I believe it's 14? 12.
Do you do all of them?
No, but I'm doing the championship with ESPN again. So ESPN has a championship game. But all the other games, I'll be there for all of them. So I'll either be the morning games, I'll be on sidelines, and the evening games, I'll be calling the games. So it's like four games a day.
Oof, Christy, that's a lot. Oh, wait, I haven't told anybody this. Hold on. I'm doing color commentary for the semifinals and championship of the ACC tournament, thanks to our partners, the Learfield Sports Network. You can hear me on the Varsity, what's this app called? Hold on, I'm gonna get it right. The Varsity Network.
Tell me that.
Yeah, no, I forgot. Sorry.
Oh, my!
It was in the middle of this. It was in the middle of our playoff run. What do you want me to tell you?
Are you kidding? This is like amazing news, and you're like, yeah, I forgot to tell. Seriously, Gabe, that's like amazing.
Yes, so
Learfield
I'll be doing
sports partners.
Yes, shouts to our partners over at Learfield Sports. It's the Varsity Network app. Get it on your phone, okay. And then we can all.
I'm hugging you. Yes. Like, how do I get to you? How do I? No, lean the other way.
I have
way.
A good.
Lean the other way. This way.
No, I'm leaning this way. No, I'm right. You're wrong. You're right. We're hugging.
Wrong way?
No, you're going the right. All right, I'm sorry to our audio only listeners. I'm sorry to our audio only listeners, but if you like audio, I'll be on the radio call doing color. You know, taking all my skills I've learned from my great podcast partner and mentor over there, applying them in the ACC tournament.
I'm doing the Gabe wiggle. Let's go, Gabe. Let's go, man. Coaching, and now you're on. And now you're on the mic at the tournament. Yeah. Oh, just the beginning. Just the beginning, baby. I love it. Oh my God. Congratulations. I owe you a huge hug. Ooh. I see you. Proud of you.
All good things. And
yes, you have to take pictures, but put them on Instagram since I can't retweet. Thank for it.
Bless America. I'll send them on Instagram just for you. Just for you, Christy.
Stressing me out. So any day now will be cleared up with all the help desk. They need to get to helping. I don't like things moving too slow. Things are moving too slow. We need help. Okay. Anyway. So Twitter, if you're listening, hit me up on Instagram.
Elon Musk. Yeah.
Hit me up on Instagram and get me, you know, recalibrated because this tournament is going to be huge and I need to get this content out. Just had a big call with Big Ten yesterday and we're going to be pushing out a lot of content on social. So I need that back together by the tournament. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you. Get that together for us.
It'll happen.
Yeah, that'll happen.
All right, I gotta go to the Wizards game though. Yeah. Speaking of basketball.
Oh yeah, go Wiz! I get the DC.
You have to get to the South Lakes Madison Regional Championship.
Ooh. Regional Championship game tonight, honey. Oh, we. hopefully I'm going to get some tea and do some yoga, you know, and get ready for that one. It should be a great one. Fourth time against Madison this year for our South Lake Seahawks boys. But yeah, should be fun. It'll be an interesting battle, to say the least. But we don't have to go home. But we got to get up out of here. We'll be somewhere courtside, clearly. Gabe down at the ACC tournament. Me in Minneapolis, where it's 12 degrees for the Big Ten women's tournament. But it's going to be so much fun to watch these teams battle out for their purpose and their passion and with a ton of character. So, again, we love that BG's back. And we love that you guys came back to take a listen to our Courtside with Christy and Gabe episode this week. And we look forward to bringing you more March Madness coming next week after these tournaments are being played. So we appreciate your time. I'm Christy Winter-Scott for Gabe Ibrahim. We will see you next time.